Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the start of Super Bowl week here on the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, and excellent service department and sales staff. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. They got you covered, whether it's a state inspection for your car, changing car parts, a simple oil change, or, of course, if you're buying a pre-owned or new car, they got you covered at SMC. And every Monday show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Or head to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, all your insurance needs, they got you covered. They are the true pros. That's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or head to purdyinsurance.com. Nate Bauer from On3 Sports today with some talk on Penn State football mostly, and also where things are kind of going with NIL and stuff like that. It should be an interesting conversation coming up in a little bit. And, of course, we hope to hear from many other guests this week as we count down to the big game on Sunday in L.A. between the Rams and the Bengals. But this just in a little while ago for Penn State football. Huge, huge W as a terrific offseason just continues for Penn State. As Hunter Norzad has announced today, he is coming to Penn State as a grad transfer. Of course, he's the offensive lineman from Cornell. 2 years of eligibility remaining since the Ivy League didn't have a 2020 season. He's played two seasons so far at Cornell. He started 20 consecutive games at right tackle, second all-team AFCS All-American in 2021, and he was actually Cornell's first All-American in 16 years. Cornell's offensive line actually was one of the best in the Ivy League last year. Barely allowed a sack a game. And also produced 121 rushing yards per game. And you think of all the teams that Penn State had to compete, a lot of them were in the Big Ten. Beat out Illinois, beat out Iowa, beat out Auburn, and beat out Virginia Tech. He was a three-star lineman. So when it comes to the actual signing of players for the future in the from National Signing Day, this year's class, 2023, looks good too. And Penn State's done well in the transfer portal. Of course, you have the Hunter Norzad pickup today. You had the Western Kentucky wide receiver Mitchell Tinsley coming from that December announcement. So this is a good start. Now can just Penn State put it all together when you do spring ball and then when you come into fall camp and eventually the regular season for next year. But huge, huge win for Penn State getting Hunter Norzad as a grad transfer from Cornell. He actually will graduate in May from Cornell and then continue with his 2 years of eligibility at Penn State next year. But yeah, to me, that's the bigger one, is being able to beat out those other Big Ten schools. Absolutely huge for Penn State. And of course, it's going to be huge to continue to build, try and build up and kind of revamp the O-line and kind of revamp the run game because, of course, as we all know by now, those were the two big storylines from last year. So the fact that you can get a guy that was the first All-American for Cornell since 2016 to solidify your offensive line a little bit more. It's a big, big win. Because we've talked about before, no matter who is ultimately under center next year for Penn State, the offensive line needs to be better. And this is a big step towards it. So perhaps we'll hear more from Steve on that a little bit later on once he joins us from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Thanks again for everybody's support during our 10th anniversary shows and week last week. If you missed any of that, it's on the podcast page or we're on anywhere where you can get your podcasts now. So be sure to check those out. A lot of great guests, and the links are posted on our Facebook page as well. Our thanks again to everybody that joined us last week. We had a couple former Penn Staters. We had Matt McGloin. We had Pat Freiermuth. We had Mike Gesicki. We had Tim Kirchen of ESPN. We had Kenny Albert. We had Chris Wheeler on Friday. So it was a lot of fun last week. So looking forward to getting it going, and we get to begin year 10 now with Super Bowl week. As we get ready for the Rams and the Bengals, which you can hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK on Super Sunday, 6:30 kickoff, coverage beginning at 2 from Westwood 1. So looking forward to that as well. And then from Penn State hoops, you got Michigan coming into town tomorrow after what was a really bizarre game on Saturday. Of course, to no surprise because of all the winter weather issues really across the country Friday night, Penn State was not able to fly to Wisconsin. It was ended up being a day trip to Wisconsin. I think they said it was a total of a 20-hour delay.
Just the mere fact you're complaining makes my heart warm.
Oh, I'm wondering how much you were complaining on Saturday. After the bizarre day you guys had getting in and out of Wisconsin.
Yeah. The fact that you're complaining makes the old heart warm.
But other than that, there's nothing very to complain nice about today if
how
you're a Penn
you,
State
sir?
Fan. I am good. I'm ready for Super Bowl week.
Are you there? There
how
you
about
are
now?
There you go. Now
there we go.
What are you complaining about now?
No, I'm all good. My question is, do you have any complaints from the weekend after an interesting Saturday?
No, not really. I mean, to be honest with you, no.
In terms of the logistics, the game is what it is. I'm just talking about the logistics, getting there.
No, not really. I mean, you know, when you've done this as long as I've done this, you know, it's not the first time in my career that I've gone in on a plane the day of the game with the team, because I have. We were supposed to leave at 5:30 Friday. Then it got pushed back to 7. Then it got pushed back to 9. Then it got pushed back to between 9 and 10 on Saturday morning. Then it got pushed back to 12:15. And then finally, the plane got there at just before 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And so they, so we're in the... at the FBO, and they say they have to screen 10 of us. So that's where I spoke up, and I looked at everybody and said, okay, who has one bag? Because they were setting up. I said, who has one bag? And the reason I said that was, in other words, anybody with multiple bags takes more time to screen. So it was like, so 10 of us were like, right away, we have one bag. So that's why I said, then we're the 10 that are going to get screened. And that's how you have to, you know, that's how you have to go about it. You have to expedite whatever you can expedite based on the rules. Got on the plane. I think we got in the air at 1:45. It's an hour and 42-minute flight out there. Now, here's the one area that, if you know, in anybody who listened to the broadcast knows that at the beginning, we told the story about what had happened. Okay. And in telling the story about what happened, we only told the story to start the game because that was the story. Okay, this is how we got out here. It's all part of the story. Everybody should know what happened. Here's what happened, and that's what we did. We never mentioned it the rest of the broadcast. Never mentioned it the rest of the broadcast. Because at that point, it is what it is. And you just can't sit there and keep revisiting that, oh, we had a travel problem. You know, because the plane we were supposed to be on got stuck in Texas. And I mean, the poor Lady Lions had it worse. I mean, they went to Nebraska Wednesday night, played Thursday, didn't get home till Saturday. I mean, and it's just anybody who's involved in air travel right now, you know that it's just the way it is right now. And that's why, you know, there's no need to complain. Here's the only issue that I can tell you that may have had some effect, and we never brought it up, but I'll bring it up at least now. All the research that we have now done on sports, games, how you practice, elements like that. Here's one that comes into play. Any team now, idealistically, wants to be eating and get their athletes to eat about, to begin the meal 3.5 to 4 hours before the game. Right around that range. Okay? 3.5 to 4 hours before kickoff, 3.5 to 4 hours before tip-off, whatever it may be, drop the puck, whatever it may be, wrestling. And Penn State got into the hotel, and an hour and 50 minutes before the game, they're having team meal because that's the best they could do. You know, and the hotel was great. The bus company was great. I mean, yeah, once we got in the plane, they were great. They couldn't help their situation. Got into the arena. Bob Taylor was an MVP. He set up everything in 15 minutes up in that hockey press box. He said it because we were up. We were not on the floor. Now, he had some idiot set up the post-game interview area.
He comes back. Oh, my almighty!
He comes up and he says to me, he says, I looked over and said, how did I do? He goes, actually, you did pretty well. I'm like, oh, good. Glad I didn't foul it up. I taped the pregame show with Micah here. I sent it to Learfield before we took off. That way we had that set to go. You know, he just tried, based on your experience, because, it's not the first time something has happened travel-wise where we had to go in the day of the game. So you look back and you say, okay, what do I need to do? What boxes do I need to check to make sure we're in the best shape possible to do the broadcast? And you go from there. They started out 1 for 20. But you know what? Wisconsin was safely in their own beds and had a normal day, and they scored a whopping 18 points in the first half. They weren't shooting the lights out either. It's just the way it was. Second half, both teams shot in the 45 to 48% range. Actually, both teams kind of settled down, played better offense in the second half, and Penn State took the lead 40 to 36. Wisconsin runs off 13 straight, Game looks like it might be over. Nope. Penn State runs off 9 straight, ties the game. Then the Wall play, when Wall scored to put them in front 51-49, I got to look at the tape on that. That was a little too easy. It was like, geez, after all the great, I mean, I'm talking about Penn State played great defense for 2 hours. That was one play where somebody got lost in the wash. All right. Then they set up the play at the end to Dredd. And Chucky Hepburn, they did something that Dick and I were like, what are they doing here? I'm talking about Wisconsin. They had Johnny Davis on him, on Dredd, and we're like, okay. And then at the last second, they switched off, and they had Davis move over to Lundy, and they had Chucky Hepburn on. We looked at him and go, well, that's a better matchup. Hepburn said that when Dredd let the ball go, he says, oh, I put my head down. He says, that ball's going in. But you know what? We're up top, and when Dredd let the ball go, we could tell it was a little bit to the left and it was going to be out the flange. You could just tell. So, you know what? Gave it a run. They got Michigan tomorrow night at 9, starting at 8:30. So, hey, you roll with it. What do you want us to do? Panic? Start yelling at the pilots? What? Just want to know how you, because remember, you're a big Philadelphia fan. You people are honest.
No, I actually wasn't surprised, quite frankly, that you guys had some trouble getting out there because of the severity of the winter storm that really affected most of the country.
Well, the plane was in Texas that we were supposed to take, and it was at an airport that didn't have de-icing. That is what complicated the issue. And there's some airports that don't. I mean, I can tell you right now, Penn State still has a game to play at Champaign. They don't have de-icing. You know, that's in, I don't know, 3 weeks. Whatever. But that, you know, that was the issue. In fact, I think the plane we got finally was from Richmond. They just couldn't get that plane out of Texas for us or the Lady Lions. They were supposed to pick up the Lady Lions first and then get us, and they didn't end up doing either. So I felt bad for them. I wasn't worried about, you know, the men's team. You know, I'm pretty confident we're going to get there and play the game and whatever. But, yeah. You just go in, you play, you go in, you play, and if anybody, you know, for all anybody listening to the broadcast, how often did we bring up the trip after we opened the game by discussing the trip? Zero. Never once mentioned it. No need to. I mean, you know, why bother keep going over and over and over again on something like that? Look, it happens. It's, you know, it's called travel in the Big Ten during a pandemic. So you just roll with the punches. Yeah. And I thought, you know, Micah handled it beautifully. Micah handled it great. Mike, Aki, Fish, Greg Miskinis, Justin Palmer, you know, everybody handled it great. Players, players like, okay, here we go. They were like, no big deal. Nobody, you know, they did shoot around here. Yeah. And then, okay. Let's wait for the plane. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Yeah. I just want, during the break, Matt to envision the suit in the same scenario.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells FOUNDER!
It would have been sheer panic. Get this thing moving!
No good! No good! No good!
I'll say this. We got off to unload the plane, and the wind at the airport, I'm talking out there, brutal. I mean, this is the first time in my life I got on the bus, I had a headache because of how cold it was. I looked at everybody, I said, who screamed out, stop the wagon train, this is it. I said, who did that? We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. Bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And yes, we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Thank the Purdy people. They have been with us since day one. Day one. And Sunbury Motors has been with us since day one. Before we get to Matt Leon, a couple quick notes. I want to get to, very quickly, Jim Harbaugh, then Brian Harsin, then I want to get to, by the way, Lovie Smith's going to be hired as the head coach of the Texans. All right. That means of the 32 NFL coaches, there will be five minorities. You know, with the Brian Flores situation, you at least want to balance by saying, you know, what the number is, because it's come up as an issue, because the Dolphins went that direction as well. So I want to get Jim Harbaugh, Brian Harsin, ESPN's interest in the Big Ten, and finally, get to Olympic ratings. In fact, we may not be able to get to Matt here, Leon, all right? But we're going to have Nate Bauer and Frank Bodani on. So let's start ticking these off one at a time. Let's start with Jim Harbaugh. This mumbo-jumbo about saving face, saying this is where I want to be, is a bunch of junk. Are you kidding me? You want to be at Michigan the rest of your life? You just interviewed for 8 hours with the Minnesota Vikings. You wanted to be the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. You did not want to be the head football coach at Michigan. You wanted to be the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Why do you sit there? Why do you fly to Minneapolis, go over to Eden Prairie, and interview for 8 hours if you don't want the job? Really? This is where I want to be. No, it's not where you want to be. You wanted to be with the Minnesota Vikings. If this is where you wanted to be, you would have told the Vikings no.
Exactly what I said on Friday.
Okay. And I realize the issues right now, and there are issues right now with college sports. I got it. Because in a lot of ways, the NFL might be, in terms of roster construction and everything that goes with it, might be easier than colleges right now. That part I got. So I don't blame him for wanting to pursue an NFL job based on the current college landscape. I got that. That a guy. Give him the benefit of the doubt there. But don't tell me this is where you want to be. It's not where you wanted to be. You wanted to be with the Minnesota Vikings. What, did you go up there so you could have a sham interview and not get the job? That's what your goal was? No, you went up to Eden Prairie because your goal was to end up with the job. He went after it. Okay? He didn't tell him, hey, no, I'm staying at Michigan. Now, I know they lost McDonald, their defensive coordinator, but that was one that made sense. He's going back to Baltimore. Wink Martindale's out of D.C. That one, everybody understands. But Josh Gattis is making a lateral move, maybe not financially, we'll find out, making a lateral move from Michigan to Miami. And can you blame him? Because it looked like last week they were going to be in limbo. So I don't blame him for talking to somebody else. His head coach is talking to somebody else. So he makes a lateral move. So, you know, that's what I always love when I read this. I look and go, what a fraud. This is where I want to be. No, actually, no, you wanted to be in Minnesota. If this is where you always wanted to be, you tell somebody that comes after you, thanks, but no thanks, this is where I want to be. But he actually physically went and interviewed for the job for 8 hours. Then there's Brian Harsin. I am not going to get into any of the off-the-field allegations because that's not my area to delve into. It just is not and would be wrong of me to do that. But this comes down to the hiring part of it. Where from 30,000 feet, there are certain elements with Auburn I don't get and have never understood. So let me give you an outside example before I get to Auburn. Tomorrow, Michigan basketball is here. And Juwan Howard is the head coach. But who is one of the key assistants on his staff? Phil Martelli. Phil, for a long time, was at St. Joe's. Got him to an Elite Eight, won numerous Atlantic 10 titles, the whole deal. Runs into a rough patch. New athletic director decides to move on. Martelli is telling the new athletic director, hey, look, I got this guy who just finished his freshman year at Jared Bynum, who's really good, and I've got two incoming freshmen that are coming in Bones Highland and Akeem Hart. Nope, blew him up. So, by the way, let's now revisit. Bones Highland ended up saying no to St. Joe's after committing and went to VCU and was a first-round pick in the NBA draft. Akeem Hart ended up going to Maryland, where he's a starter. Jared Bynum, you probably saw him yesterday, had 32 for Providence, including 7 straight three-pointers. St. Joe's? Since they've done that, they've gone 6-26, 5-15, and 10-11. Very impressive. 21-52. But I'm sure they got the person they wanted. Which now leads to Auburn. A proven commodity, Phil Martelli tells you, I've got this already on the team, and I got these two guys coming in. Nope. Ended up losing all three players and have won 21 games in 3 years. Okay. Again, these are things that when it happens from 30,000 feet, I get confused by. Like, that makes no sense. What are they getting rid of him for? Okay. Well, I'm not there every day, so okay. At Auburn, Brian Harsin. Whatever the off-the-field allegations are, I don't want to get into. So let's just get into just the fact that he's there. Again, from 30,000 feet. Gus Malzahn comes in and using Gene Chizik's talent, let's be fair, gets Auburn to the national championship game where they lose to Florida State. Okay. Now, no run like that since. But over the period of time he had been at Auburn, he beat Alabama 3 times. including the guy in the other sideline three times. Right? Exactly who else has done that? But to some people, not good enough. All right. And I'm not saying the athletic, it's an athletic director, but got to make a call. But you've got boosters involved. Okay. So they give Gus Malzahn $21 million to go away. Quite a buyout. If you're wondering why the suit's still here, I don't blame Roger for not paying the buyout.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
A message from this station, the ad council, and the sales staff. All right. but they give him $21 million to go away. And again, this is 30,000 feet, so I don't know what kind of relationship internally Gus Malzahn had with anybody at Auburn. Could have been bad, could have been great, could have been in between. I don't know. But from the outside looking in, like, he's done pretty darn well there. Then they hire Brian Harsin, who, yeah, at one point was at Arkansas State, but had spent the last 7 years at Boise. I'm sitting there, like, going, Boise? Boy, don't you think you want to hire somebody who has more of a feel for the... And I said, let's go to almost... I mean, I... almost quoting myself from the show. I said, a confusing hire, I remember saying at the time. I said, because wouldn't you want somebody with more of the Southern background? That had, like, more of an SEC background that understood the landscape down there? I said, you're going to have to hire a staff that has that feeling. I said, it's not going to come from the head coach. Okay. Now you're reading... Yeah, I mean, look at all the players that have transferred out, including Bo Nix. And some of the players have been very pointed in their criticism. A, Lee Hunter and Smoke Monday. And both have said, hey, look, they think he can really coach. So that's not the issue. They say he's not great with people. Just paraphrasing what they said. I mean, I don't know if I can find the exact quotes here or not. But, and now he has, I think he has a $20 million buyout. So let's be honest, they can't afford to do that. They gave the other guy 21. You can't afford a year later to give 20. But again, somebody made the decision, not... enough with him. We're done. We need to move on. I'll make my own choice. Okay, you make, and now a year later, there was Derek Mason, well-respected defensive coordinator, got out. He had Mike Bobo on the staff as his offensive coordinator, got rid of him, brought in Austin Davis from the Seattle Seahawks. Davis stayed 3 weeks, then left. Now there is no offensive coordinator. I mean, they're a mess. And you got former players... they're basically saying, look, he doesn't care about us as players. Or as people. Actually, that's wrong. As people. My apologies. As people. And it's a total mess down there. So... this is the state of the program down there at this point. 22 players have left the program, including Bo Nix, wide receiver Kobe Hudson, running back Sean Shivers, and Javarius Johnson, their wide receiver, along with six defensive linemen. Derek Mason, great defensive mind, goes to Oklahoma State. Okay. He fired wide receivers coach Cornelius Williams just 4 games into the season. Former defensive tackle Lee Hunter, former four-star recruit who transferred to UCF, which, by the way, is where Gus Malzahn is, went to Instagram and said, "Auburn is a special place and always will be. The reason I chose to leave Auburn is because we were treated like," now again, I'm quoting here, "like we wasn't good enough and like dogs. I love you, Auburn Nation, War Eagle forever. Coach Harsin has a true mindset for a winner, but has a terrible mindset as a person." The post received multiple likes from current and former Auburn players. Smoke Monday, the safety. "Harsin is a heck of a coach that wants to win, but is an expletive as a person. He truly," and again, I'm quoting here, "he truly don't understand kids that come from nothing, kids that come from the hood. Like, he truly don't understand that. But as kids, we try our best to outgrow where we came from. We need people that didn't grow up the way we grew up to help us along the way, and that's something Harsin didn't do." And again, when you walk, I've said this once, I've said this many times, you walk into the room, the first meeting you have your team in the auditorium, you're not inheriting players. That is your team. And you've got to care deeply about each and every one of them from the jump, because it's going to set the tone for how your program is on an everyday basis. And it sounds like he didn't do that. And you got to be able to do that. Mike Tirico will depart from Beijing days earlier, won't return after the Super Bowl. Why would he want to go back? Nobody's watching it anyway. Opening ceremony, down 43% from 4 years ago. Saturday coverage, down 44% from 4 years ago. NBC has lost almost half of its audience on the Winter Games. 43% opening ceremony Friday, down 44% on Saturday. Okay, now I'm going to get to the Big Ten and ESPN. I'll do that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. All right. So, Burke Magnus has been with ESPN for 26 years. He is a pivotal figure in the negotiations. He was interviewed by Richard Deitch for his podcast. Richard does great work with The Athletic, okay? He was asked about how much do you want to continue business with the Big Ten. Magnus said, quote, "badly. We go way back with the Big Ten. 1996, first time we had a Big Ten game on ABC, and we go way back to that time, and we've been through a ton together. We've been their exclusive rights holder at one time. We've shared. We've lived through the advent of the Big Ten Network. Fox and ESPN and the Big Ten Network and ABC make an incredible combination right now, so we intend to pursue it aggressively. We love the Big Ten. It fits perfectly into our portfolio. I don't think I'm breaking any news here to suggest that it's really important to our overall college football and college sports business. It just is perfect for us, and we hope very much to continue. So expect ESPN to be an aggressive bidder on the Big Ten package, which is critical because CBS is going to have an opening. NBC might want some. Right, Fox, of course, is critical to them, but ESPN has made it plain they want to be a player for the Big Ten. It's important all the way around. Important all the way around. Because I don't care what sport you love, the more TV money they get in, the better it is for every sport at the university. And people wondered if ESPN would still be involved. Well, they want to be. That's the start right there. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.